I'm Karen Given. The 1987 movie, The Princess Bride, begins with a situation that may feel familiar right now. Actor Fred Savage's character, the grandson, is stuck at home.
You feeling any better?
A little bit.
Then Peter Falk's character, the grandfather, shows up with a gift.
A book?
That's right. When I was your age, television was called books.
Is it got any sports in it?
Are you kidding? Fencing, fighting, torture, revenge, giants, monsters, chases, escapes.
And I thought we stretched the definition of sports. Our next story doesn't have any fencing, fighting, or torture, but it is about the hot hand, the movie The Princess Bride, and a night that changed basketball. Here's Only a Game's Martin Kessler.
There was little reason to suspect that February 27th, 2013 would go down as a turning point in basketball history.
It was the middle of the dog days of the NBA season.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Ben Cohen, who recently wrote a book called The Hot Hand. The New York Knicks were hosting the Golden State Warriors at Madison Square Garden.
And this is before the Warriors are who we think of them as now. And so this was just a regular old, boring regular season basketball game involving the New York Knicks, which, you know.
For those who may be unaware, the past two decades have not been kind to the New York Knicks. But there was something a bit unusual about this game for the Warriors. Golden State's all-star forward David Lee wouldn't be playing. The previous night against the Pacers, he'd gotten into a fight and he'd been suspended by the NBA. The Warriors would be missing Lee's 19 points per game against the Knicks.
Basically, their only offense was to unleash Steph Curry and hope that he got hot.
Steph Curry is now a global superstar, famous for taking and making bunches of three-pointers from all over the court. But back in February 2013, he wasn't even an all-star, and there was little reason to suspect that he was about to change the sport of basketball. Since his rookie season, Steph had been an absurdly accurate three-point shooter. But in other ways, his three-point shooting wasn't particularly remarkable. He wasn't taking all that many three-pointers, and most of the threes he did take were pretty standard. They weren't from far beyond the three-point line, and he was usually being set up off a pass from a teammate rather than creating a shot for himself off his dribble.
He was basically playing basketball the way that everybody had always imagined you should play basketball. He was boxed in by that imagination of basketball.
Steph Curry missed his first three-point attempt on February 27th, 2013 against the Knicks.
He doesn't make a three for the whole first quarter. It just looks like a normal game for him. And then what happens is that he makes one shot.
Curry with the quick trigger, got the three ball.
He makes another shot.
Curry with the quick three right down Main Street.
He's starting to feel good.
And this is where our story starts to become less about basketball and more about human psychology and a fierce academic debate. Because Steph Curry,
he begins to get a little bit crazier with the types of shots that he takes.
Midway through the second quarter, the Warriors got a steal, and Curry had the ball in transition.
He takes the ball on a fast break on a two-on-one, and for the entire history of basketball, what almost everybody in his situation would have done was continue to the basket for a layup or to create another three-pointer for his teammate. What he does instead is he stops behind the three-point line.
Steph Curry was going to shoot. Under ordinary circumstances, Curry's teammates might have considered this a bad shot. But Curry and everyone else in a Warriors uniform didn't believe these were ordinary circumstances.
They know that he is catching fire and they want to get him the ball because they think that he is hot.
Now, we're going to pause here and nerd out for a bit. Curry and his teammates, and basically every athlete, believe in something called the hot hand. The idea that after making a couple shots in a row, Curry actually becomes more likely to make his next one. Over decades, though, some academics have argued that there's actually no such thing as the hot hand, that the odds of Curry making a jump shot are fixed, like flipping a coin. Sometimes we might get lucky and get two heads in a row, but that doesn't mean the third flip is any more likely to come up heads. Scholars have looked for the hot hand, or this idea of being on a roll, beyond basketball.
So there was a paper published not too long ago by a statistical physicist named Dashen Wang, and he looked at what he called the hot hand periods of your careers. So not just basketball, in fact, not basketball at all, but he looked at Hollywood directors, and he looked at artists, and he looked at scientists. And what he wanted to know was, is creativity clustered? Like, do we have hits in our career that come before or after other hits? He looked at IMDb ratings for movies, and he looked at Google Scholar citations for scientists and auction prices for artists. And what he found was that in all three industries, if he knew what your best work is, chances are it's surrounded by your second and third best work, which is to say that there is this time in our career when we actually do elevate, when we have these hot hand periods. And so once I found out that movie makers had their own hot hands, I was sort of intrigued and I went looking for some.
And this is where we return to the Princess Bride.
Hold it, hold it. Where's the sports? Is this a kissing book?
In 1973, William Goldman's fantasy novel, featuring fencing, fighting, torture, revenge, giants, monsters, and yes, a bit of kissing, was published. Over the next decade and a half, there were several attempts to turn the book into a movie.
Goldman liked to tell this story that studio heads would buy the rights to The Princess Bride and then get fired the next weekend. There was something haunted about The Princess Bride.
Yeah, and so why do you think people didn't want to make it right away? Why did it have so much trouble?
I think people have a hard time with things that push boundaries and that try to pack a lot of things into a little space.
It's almost like a deep three-point shot or something like that.
People thought that you shouldn't do it, and so people didn't do it. And yet we now know that it probably makes a lot of sense to do it.
Who would be empowered to take an unconventional shot like that? Someone with a lot of talent, sure, but that apparently wasn't enough. Cinema all-stars Robert Redford, Norman Jewison, and Francois Truffaut had all tried and failed to make the movie. Ben Cohen thinks it had to be someone who also had the hot hand, someone who was really on a roll. Which brings us to director Rob Reiner.
If you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look.
In 1984, Reiner made his big screen directorial debut with This Is Spinal Tap, a mockumentary about a heavy metal band.
What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Now, it wasn't a commercial success until many years later, but it was a critical hit. People liked it, and that let him make another movie.
Reiner next made The Sure Thing and then Stand By Me.
I bet you anything that if we find him, we'll get our pictures in the paper.
It is a huge commercial hit at the box office. It's once again a critical smash.
Rob Reiner was on a roll, and he knew what he wanted to make next.
Rob Reiner puts all of his chips on the table, and he makes The Princess Bride.
Buttercup was raised on a small farm in the country of Florin. Our favorite pastimes were riding a horse and tormenting the farm boy that worked there.
He used the hot hand to make something that nobody else would have wanted him to make.
Not sure no others follow us.
As I told you, it would be absolutely, totally, and in all other ways, inconceivable.
In basketball, we sort of have a word for this. It's called a heat check, right? A heat check is when you've made a few shots in a row and you kind of throw up a crazy shot, a risky shot.
He didn't fall? Inconceivable.
You keep using the word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
The Princess Bride was Rob Reiner's heat check.
And if The Princess Bride was Rob Reiner's heat check, it was a swish. The movie became a cult classic that's now on the Library of Congress's National Film Registry. And maybe, just maybe, a belief in the hot hand, or that any person can be on a roll, helped Rob Reiner finally get the unconventional film made. Now, getting back to February 27th, 2013, Steph Curry has hit 2 3-pointers in a row, and now he's got the ball on the fast break. He stops at the 3-point line and prepares to shoot. This, Ben Cohen says, was Steph Curry's heat check.
You can almost see this look of confusion on the face of the Knicks defender, because what Steph Curry was doing in that moment was so audacious.
The shot, of course, went in. He kept going.
Curry for the lead. Got it.
Curry. Oh, boy, sweet touch.
Come on.
Got it. What a night for Steph Curry.
Steph Curry finished with 54 points. Ben Cohen says most NBA superstars have a game where everything seems to click. But for Steph Curry, the difference between before and after February 27, 2013 is especially striking.
Before that game, Steph Curry in his career averaged 18 points on 5 three-point attempts per game. After that game, he's averaged 26 points per game on 10 three-point attempts per game. This is when things changed, when he was allowed to shoot the types of three-pointers that nobody had ever been allowed to shoot before.
Regardless of whether or not the hot hand is real, and regardless of how significant the hot hand effect may really be, and you'll have to check out Ben Cohen's book to delve into all of that, at the very least, the fact that people believed in the hot hand helped empower Steph Curry to take the sorts of shots he'd always been capable of making. Since that night, Steph Curry has won 2 MVP awards, and NBA players are taking more three-pointers than ever before. But there's actually one more reason why the night Steph Curry scored 54 points on the Knicks is noteworthy.
The most amazing part of this game is that the Knicks actually did win. Steph had the greatest scoring game of his career, and the Warriors lost to the New York Knicks.
I just have one thing to say to that. Inconceivable.
That's Only a Game's Martin Kessler. Ben Cohen's new book is The Hot Hand, The Mystery and Science of Streaks. We'll have a link at onlyagame.org.